Well, thank you, Sister Clark. It's the best news I ever heard when I first heard the gospel, amen. Rescue a sinner like me, amen. I believe we'll be in heaven a long time. We'll still be praising the Lord for that, amen. I want you to open your Bible. It's Father's Day. The Bible is full of good examples of fathers, all kind of instruction to fathers in the Bible. Because of the sake of time, I'm going to just pick a few verses out of a big story. I'm going to ask you to go to Numbers chapter 14. Start with Genesis. Go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. Did I get it right? All right. Seeing a couple of heads nodding. The rest of you don't know where you're at. But anyway, Numbers chapter 14. We pick out the story here. The choir was singing a while ago about Joshua. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And you remember the story when the Jews were brought out of Egypt under Moses' leadership. Things didn't always go smooth. I think those Jews were Baptists myself because they murmured against the leader every now and then. And they murmured a lot about against Moses out there in the wilderness. And some bad things happened to them because of that. And they got up to the promised land, to the border of Kadesh Barnea. And God told Moses to send some fellows in to check it out, to spy out the land. They're fixing to go to battle. Armies still do that today, right? And so he picked out 12 men. You know the story. Two of them were faithful and 10 of them were not. And when they came back, two of them, one of them was named Joshua and the other one was Caleb. Those two came back, said, "We can take it. God's given it to us. Let's go." But the other 10 said, "No, there's giants in the land. Those people are bigger than us." And they said, "No." They brought down, as it were, God's judgment on them, and they wound up spinning their wheels in the wilderness for 40 years because of disobeying God. And if you read the whole story, there's a man by the name of Caleb that was a partner with Joshua. He is an outstanding fellow. I want to preach a little bit about him this morning. I want to say that we call him Father Caleb because he really looked to his household. He looked to his family. And he was a man of great faith. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 20 of Numbers chapter 14. "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word." Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Moses. Moses has realized the Jews here, the people, have made God mad and God's about to judge them. So Moses is standing up and asking God for mercy. Somebody said there was times when Moses wanted God to kill him. There was other times when God wanted to kill him. And Moses stood up and begged for him. Somebody said if they'd ever got together, there wouldn't be no Jews left. There's a lot of truth to that. And so what was happening right here is Moses is pleading to God, spare them. What's all these heathen tribes going to think, Lord, if you give up with them now? So I pick it up here again in verse 20. "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word," Moses' word, begged him. "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." God was saying, I'm still going to have my way. Verse 22, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." But I want you to notice the exception in verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit," that's a great statement, "had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed," that's his kids, "his seed shall possess it." Caleb was quite a man. The more you study about him, even in old age, he could still go in and conquer the land. And he was faithful to the Lord. And so I picked him kind of as a model father. We could pick so many out of the Joshua would have been a good one and others. But I think about Caleb a little bit and the faith that he had and the strength that he had and God's blessings upon him and how he raised his family, took care of them. Do you know, dads, listen to me this morning. You are your kid's champion, right? And especially if you've got a son, he looks up to you. And whether you like it or not, he's going to be a lot like you. This whole business of saying, do as I say and not as I do, don't work, fathers. It don't work. They're going to very much be like you. I think about the little boy at the table that was not showing very good manners, and his mother was fussing at him, and finally the dad looked over at him and said, son, quit eating like a pig. And the little boy looked at him, his dad looked back and said, son, you know what a pig was, what a pig is? He said, yeah, it's a hog's little boy. Think it through, dads. I know it's pretty thick for some of you, but think it through. Whether you like it or not, that kid's going to have a lot of you in him. He's going to act a lot like you. He's not just going to do what you say do, he's going to do what you do. And so we ought to be, want to be a good mentor. We ought to want to be a good champion, a good leader, a good hero that our kids can follow. And especially I get to this thing of the boys. We live in this day and time when so much perversion is going on. I want to tell you why so many boys grow up effeminate. Because they need a dad in the home that shows them what they ought to be. This old business of caving into all this silly stuff that's going on today, this politically correct stuff, what we need is somebody to say, this is God's way, I'm God's man, I'm going to follow God, and you follow me as I follow God. And if we take that kind of attitude, and I believe kids are looking for somebody to follow. I really do. There's too much junk going on out there today that is amazing. Every kid needs a champion. I don't know about you, but there was no TV for me when I was growing up as a kid. If I could get an extra quarter, I'd buy a funny book, and I had some heroes, and I listened to the Lone Ranger on the radio, and he was my hero. But you know, kids want a man to follow. That's natural, that's normal, and especially little boys, it ought to be that way. And as it's Father's Day today, I'm talking about that. Every kid needs a champion. Dad, you are it. For a long time, the kids don't know all about you. You have a period of time in which you can lead them, and don't blow it. Don't give it up. Try to be that all your life. I mean, you ever hear somebody say, well, my old dad said this, my old dad said that? I want to tell you, you're going to make an impression one way or the other. Make it for God. Make it for good. Sad truth is, too many aren't doing that today. But kids need a champion. If you're going to be the right kind of dad, you'll be a dad of purity. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean that you can. It isn't easy, but you can live a pure life in a corrupt world. You can if you want to, bad enough. I could pick other heroes in the Bible. I think about Joseph. Joseph was put falsely accused and put in a dungeon and all that. And we got this sad attitude today that if you live clean, you must be a sissy. Oh, no. It takes more men, more manhood, and more man to live for God than it does for the devil. I've heard preachers say from an old time back, any old dead fish can float down the stream. It takes a live one to fight the current and go against it. And the truth is, I want to be a live one. I want to resist the evil current of this old world. I want to do what would be pleasing to God and to stay pure. One of the big sins today that's ruining our homes and ruining dads and ruining the kids that are following those dads is pornography. It's everywhere. You can get it on your little cell phone. And you say, well, my kid, I've told him not to. Uh-huh. Yeah. The truth is, you turn them loose with a rattlesnake, you'd be better off than some of the stuff they can pull up on that cell phone and all that rest of that stuff. It's influencing the wrong way. It's not easy, but it pays in the long run to side with God. And dads, we got to fight it, but we ought to try to be pure. The kid's not going to be pure if we aren't. We need dads of purity. And it starts with the eyes. Job said in the book of Job, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a maid. Now, you know what he means, men. Jesus made it clearer in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you've heard of old time where they said, I shall not commit adultery. He said, I want to say to you, when you look at a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And we live in a day and time when they can't advertise anything unless they got a sex picture in it. I can't even figure out some of the commercials that come on TV. I wonder, what are you trying to sell? And I can't hardly figure it out because it's so far off. But almost every time, one way or another, it's got a sexual overtone in it. And this world is corrupt. And the devil got Eve in trouble when she looked at the forbidden fruit in the garden. And he's still getting this world in trouble today. And men, you may have to fight it, but you do need to make a covenant with your eyes. Don't expect your son to if you don't. Amen. Too bad. It's true. It starts with our eyes, and that leads to the rest of it. The whole system of drinking and doping and dirty mouth and all that business is what your kids are going to follow. And moms, listen to me too. Don't say, well, that's just an adult thing. Don't tell your little boy, don't do that. That's your dad does it. That's just an adult thing. No, it's still sin one way or the other. And there's no excuse. No excuse for that. You just have to get to this thing of saying, I want to be the right hero. I want to be the right image. I want that kid to follow as I do and not just as I say do. And dad, you need to be a dad of purity. And then you need to be a dad of persistence. Caleb was. You read about him 40 years later. He's still the man. 40 years later, he's still standing where he stood. 40 years later, he's resisting the current of evil and doing right. He's still faithful. You know, our day's curse is inconsistency. You see, this whole thing of being one way today and another way tomorrow and another way next week and another way next month, that's not God's plan. If it's right today, it's right tomorrow. If it's right today, it's right next week. Amen. And dad of persistence to stay with it. You know, part of our trouble in our world today is this business of up and down. Trouble in our nation. What we need is men to stand for what's right. We've got all kind of troubles in Washington, in the Congress, and all. And I want to tell you, and some of you ladies may not like this, but the big part is that men won't stand up to the women. Look at the ones that's running for president. If we had a couple of good old-fashioned forefathered men up there, they'd clean house. And that's what needs to be done. And women never were supposed to be pushed out in the position that we're pushing them out in today. Never were supposed to be. You read the book of Isaiah, you're not going to like me when I get through, but I may get worse. Buckle your seatbelt. Your ride may get a little worse. The Bible, God threatened the Jews when they were disobeying him that he'd make women to be rulers over them. I wonder if that's what's happening to America. What we got, 20 or 30 running now for president. Guess who the big mouths are quoted in the liberal media today? It's mostly women. Mostly women. It is crazy. It is crazy. And in fact, what you got, the few men you got, I could name a few of them. Sanders and Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, they're asking the women, what do you want me to do? They're following, they're not leading. And this nation's sick, and it's on life support right now. And we're praying God's going to save us, but I want to tell you something, we're heading down the creek without a paddle, and no doubt about it. And what we need is some statesmen. Can you imagine Patrick Henry, who said, give me liberty or give me death? Can you imagine him being up in Washington right now? I think he could shake things up. I think he could. How about Davy Crockett? You say, what do you mean? Wasn't he a pioneer? Yeah, he had a coonskin cap. You remember that, don't you? Do you remember he used to be a congressman? Uh-huh. And he was one that stood up and voted against the giveaway programs. The socialism, even as far back as then. I was reading an excerpt when he was in Congress. And some, I guess, real tragedy had happened to somebody. And so in Congress, they said, let's appropriate some money to whatever the cause was. And David Crockett stood up and said, wait a minute, you can't do that. It's not your money. He said, you can't give away somebody else's money. He said, what I suggest is we all pass the plate and give our own money. He wasn't too popular even then. But that's what would fix this country today. Get back to the basics. Old David Crockett said that. You know, but sadly, look around today and we're teaching tolerance of everything. And excusing everything. I think I've told you before, I knew a black preacher. I think he's dead now. He was a good preacher, had a big crowd that wanted to hear him. But he'd preach what needed preaching. He'd preach about wearing your pants up where you're supposed to. Amen. He'd preach about things that just a lot of folks didn't like, but he nailed it. And he preached that kind of stuff. He said one day he was home and had a knock come on the door. He said, I went to the door. He had a teenage daughter at that time. He said, I opened the door, and there stood this scrawny-looking, smelly-looking, poorly dressed, dirty boy. And he said, preacher said, what do you want? He said, well, I want to see your daughter. He said, no, you don't want to see my daughter. He said, I sent him on his way. He said, pretty soon, my daughter said, I hear somebody knock on the door. He said, yeah. She said, was that for me? He said, no, it wasn't for you. Daddies ought to be that way. He ought to pass some judgment on some things and not be ashamed to do it. And I appreciated it. I heard him tell that story. I want to tell you, persist in something. Don't start and quit. You know, my dad, I know your dad did probably say, son, if you're going to start it, finish it. Don't leave it undone. Pick your tools up. Don't walk off and leave them. Sweep the floor when you get there. Complete the job. And that's what we need today. Around here on staff, when we're doing maintenance and stuff, I can't hardly stand it to see where somebody starts a job and don't get back to it. Don't clean up behind yourself. They get on the preacher's bad side, and that is not good. But anyway, we ought to finish what we start. That's all there is to it. And if we're going to do it, our sons, you say, well, how does that start? Well, how about picking up the toys that you got out of your box so mama don't have to come along and do it? I know I'm getting quiet. I'm meddling with some of you. Truth is, you've been down the road and you recognize what I'm talking about, but you don't admit it. And I want to say to you dads, we are going to be responsible for God. We are to set the example. Like Caleb, we're to lead our family. We're to take care of them. And we got to stand sometime against the crowd to do it. Caleb did, didn't he? The other 10 said, we can't win. The giants and the lion. He said, God's given it to us. Let's go. Big difference. Big difference. The difference today, that difference would make a difference today if we would do it. We need to be a dad of persistence. We need to be a dad, and this is a dirty word. You're not going to like it. Dad of perspiration. Could I get that where you could understand it? Sweat. Amen? Amen. Work. Work enough that you know it. You read the Bible close in the book of Genesis. It does not say that that Adam was supposed to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. You thought it said that? No. Sweat of his face. There's a difference. Fellas, you can get out and get your brow kind of sweaty over just a little bit. But when your face starts sweating and comes down, drips off your chin, now you're getting with it. And that's the way it ought to be. Men ought to be willing to work. Hard work ethic. The old Jews used to say, if a man has a son, and he does not teach him a trade, then he's raising a thief. Do you understand? We're in that generation today. They call it socialism, but it's still thievery. Somebody else sweated for it. Somebody else worked for it. Somebody else put it in. Give it to me free. Free to me. I was talking with a boy. It's been quite a long time ago. And I knew he had a job. And he said, time of day should have been aware. I said, what? How come you don't have a job? He said, oh, I quit. I said, what happened? He said, well, I found out I could draw just about as much without going to the job. Now, that stinks, folks. That's what's running our nation. That's what's running our families. No work ethic. The old-fashioned way that built our nation now has been forsaken. It's ridiculous to have that sort of thing happen. If you think that the government owes you a living and you want 3 meals a day and you want total security, surrender and go to jail. Just come on and tell the law, I'm a thief anyway. I'm taking it all. Just put me in there. Nobody will hurt me in there. Maybe. And they'll feed me. All you got to do is just give up your freedom if you don't mind that. Folks, That's what, if socialism comes into America, we lose our freedoms. You lose your rights. That's the biggest thing. That's the first step. And yet that stuff, they tell me the polls are showing that the younger generation is more in favor of socialism than capitalism or the old free enterprise way of earning your own way. If that's the case, then our nation is gone if that happens. Socialism, I think it was Churchill, the leader of World War II of England, Winston Churchill. He said, socialism will only work in two places. He said, it won't work on earth. He said, it'll work in heaven where they don't need it. And it'll work in hell where they've already got it. The old man knew what he was talking about. We better wise up to that, folks. We need dads of perspiration. I mean, willing to work. Don't raise your hand, but think in your mind. I grew up here in this town, and my dad was a working dad. Much of what I know today, I learned from my dad. I learned not only the way to do it with your hands, but why you ought to do it, and how you ought to complete it, and how you ought to do for yourself and not wait for somebody else to do it for you. I learned those things, and I appreciate that. I thank God for that he gave me a dad that had that kind of wisdom as he raised me up. I know you don't want me to teach you science, but my old car broke down. The very first one I bought. It was an antique when I bought it. And it broke down. And I went hunting parts to fix it. And it was an antique. There was no parts in town to fix it. And so when Dad come home that night, and I was still in school and high school, and I sat down and I told him my problem. I said, there's no parts. It's a universal joint is broken. They won't have nothing for that old car. He said, well, son, I can tell you how you'd fix it if you really want it fixed bad enough. I said, oh, yes, I do. He said, go down to the hardware store and buy yourself a 25-cent file. A quarter bought you a pretty decent file. He said, crawl on that car, and he told me how to file it where that thing would fit back together. He said, now it'll take you a while. Was he kidding? It took me 2 weeks. I come in every day from school, crawl on that car and get that file. I filed till I had calluses on my hands. But I want to tell you something. When I got rid of that car, it was still running because I put it back together with a 25-cent file, a homemade job. But I want to tell you what, it wasn't the fact that I got the car running again. The good part about it was it taught me something. You can improvise. You can work. If you want to do something bad enough, if you want to pay the price bad enough, you can do it. And we've lost that today. It's a throwaway generation. Throw away the cups. Throw away everything. And get something new. Well, that's the best way I know to wind up with nothing before it's over with. Dad of perspiration. Willing to work. Willing to work. And I want to get to this. A dad of prayer. Daddy, you're not much of a daddy if you don't pray for your kids. I mean, you know there's a God in heaven. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible where daddies prayed for their kids. I mentioned Job a while ago. Job was making offerings to God and praying for his family when the disasters hit him. You remember the story in Job? He was looking out praying for his family. Abraham, the father of the faithful in the Old Testament, praying for his family. Watching over your family. We ought to start kids when they're young to know that there's a God in heaven they can talk to. Most of you probably did this. I did this when my boy came along. My wife and I take turns often, but we'd go to the bed at night and get him in the bed and get on our knees with him side the bed and pray. You say, well, did God answer? Sure looks to me like he did. I'm thankful for health and strength. I'm thankful for a decent life. I'm thankful that he's serving God now. I want to say to you, I give God the credit, sure. But that boy saw we believed in God. That we wanted God's blessing. And I say to you, don't sell prayer short. Watch over your family in prayer. You know, only heaven's going to reveal what took place because of some mother or daddy on their knees. Praying. We say, I didn't see anything. Well, you haven't seen the last inning played yet. You haven't been to the, you hadn't been to the final scoreboard. God's got a record in heaven one day, and I don't believe a prayer has ever been wasted. Only heaven will really reveal the power of it. I think about an old preacher, and many of you college students and others, you'd recognize the name George Truett. First Baptist Church in Dallas, still standing, going strong today. George Truett, back in the 30s, 40s, maybe even the 20s, the old preacher was there for many, many years. George Truett was talking, probably on a Father's Day, like I am now. He was talking about it. He's talking about the power of it, of a father's prayers. And he said there was a baby boy born, and he was born with premature or whatever, but it was not going to live. Just no way it was going to live. And he said the mom and the dad, is the preacher, he was there with them in the hospital, and he said the doctors told him no hope. The baby's not going to finally, he's not going to breathe right, he's not going to make it, he's going to die. And he said, I saw this with my own eyes. He said, I saw those parents weeping and praying to God, but he said, I saw that father. The doctor said, might as well take him, this is it, he's gone. He said the baby had already quit breathing. He said, I saw that father reach down and pick that little baby boy up and lay down across the bed and squeeze that little boy to his chest and hold him there and start praying to God. He said he prayed a long time holding that boy. So the doctor was standing there. Said all of a sudden that little baby boy gasped and another gasp and another, and he started breathing. And he said, and when he told that story, he said, I watched that kid grow up. He said, better than that, he said, the doctor that watched it got saved because of it. I want to tell you, don't sell God short. And prayer is something he gives you and I as dads. And we ought to make use of it. We certainly ought to. You know, Moses here standing before God, pleading to God to not kill this murmuring nation, this rebellious nature. He, in one place, even told God, blot me out of your book if you won't save them. And God did give them another chance. And I want to say today, that same God that Moses prayed to is just as powerful as when he parted the Red Sea. Just as powerful as he ever was. And Dad's souls are in the balance. You say, well, I've never received Christ, preacher. I want to tell you something. You ought to, for a testimony, not just for your soul to be saved from hell, but a testimony to your kids that Daddy loved God. Daddy believed in God. Daddy prayed. Fathers, you got a great opportunity that God has given you to let your kids know your decision for Jesus affects more than you. They need to see your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you this before, but I thought of it again this week. I was coming around Lake Tracy out from the Walmart direction, coming around, and I come around Lake Tracy and I came up to the hill where you have to stop at the Red Railroad. Most of us have done that. In the old days when I was a kid, that was one rough road. I mean, it was rough. Daddy had an old fruit truck, stiff springs on it. It rode rough. My younger brother was supposedly dying. They thought he was dying in the hospital with polio. They had him over in the Tampa direction. And of course, friends and neighbors and everybody was praying for him. I knew Mother prayed for him because I knew where she went to her favorite spot. I'd see her go just as the sun was going down. And she looked the direction of that Tampa hospital and she'd pray. I knew she did. I knew my grandma was praying. I knew I was praying as a kid. I didn't know nothing. I wasn't Christian, wasn't trained Bible or nothing, but I prayed because I loved my brother. So a lot of folks were praying. And I was in the truck with Dad, that old rough truck. And that's why I thought of it this week, how smooth the road is now. And new car, you don't hardly even think about a bump. But that old truck found every hole in the road. It just bumped. And we were going up that hill, and I'd heard some of the neighboring ladies talk, and I'd seen them shake their head, and I knew what they were saying. They were saying my brother was going to die. I knew what they were saying. he'll be dead tomorrow. He's gone. And as we was going up that hill, I looked as a kid, looked up at my dad driving that old truck. And I said, Daddy, the neighboring ladies said he's going to die. And Daddy kind of looked at me and he said, Son, they don't know. He said, it's up to God. And he murmured a prayer, kind of a half statement under his breath, and I seen the tears come out of his eyes. I want to tell you something. Well, my brother lived. He's still alive. But for a 10-year-old boy, seeing that Dad believed in God, that Dad prayed to God, I never got over that. I knew Mama prayed, I knew Grandma prayed, but I tell you what, it made an impression on me. God in heaven, my dad believed in him, and he prayed to him. I want to say to you, Dad, God has put you in a special place of responsibility. Little eyes are on you. What you do is going to influence them. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, Dad, the best thing you could do for that boy, for that family, is let them know that I believe in Jesus, I've trusted him, and they'll come near following you than they ever will doing what you say. They'll do what you do. I ask you this morning, have you ever openly confessed Christ? Have you been that kind of witness to your family? God would have you do that. I believe this morning you're in his house. I've tried to preach something from his word, and I would encourage you, some eyes are on you now. If you've never received Christ, the time to do it is now. That's not just for dads. It's anybody that's never received Christ. You ought to receive him. Somebody's watching you. God's going to use you for good if you'll let him. Would you confess his son that loved you and died for you and paid for your sins? You can do it this morning. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's stand quietly on our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've tried to direct some remarks to daddies. I remember how I loved my dad, how important he was. I thought he could do anything. And Father, as I grew up, I realized he was just a man like others. But I thank you for that example. I thank you for the precious memories, and especially that memory I just tried to share. Father, what it meant to me then as a kid. And then to see the day come that he walked the church aisle and received Christ. One of the greatest, greatest times of my life. I thank you for that. Father, he's been dead a long time, but he's with you. And I'm going to be there one day. And I thank you for the example he left me. So many I'm speaking for this morning that had fathers. I heard Brother Parsons mention his father in his prayer. Father, that's an important thing. Fathers are something you gave us, and all through the Bible you admonish fathers to be an example, a testimony, to raise their sons and their daughters right. I pray you'd bless the invitation, and if there's one here without Christ, or many, that they'd come this morning and say, Preacher, I'm going to receive Christ. I'm not ashamed to confess him as my Savior. I pray for the men that are here and the women and the kids this morning, that each one would come and receive Christ as their Savior. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me here? Some of you men that have confessed Christ, it wouldn't hurt you to come pray for somebody else at the altar. Let them know which side you're on. Amen. How about it? As we sing, will you come?